Is the acknowledged one of the best, the very best of jazz performers of the 20th century. So says a book, The Song of the Hawk, written in 1990 about this extraordinary musician. Coleman Hawkins is performing live and unaccompanied on tenor sax Picasso. It was recorded in 1948, and it's one of my favorites to listen to. Coleman Hawkins died in 1969, 2 years after his last recording. He's buried at Woodlawn Cemetery in the Bronx in New York City. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we are coming to your thoughts today about what's shaping your view of the election and what are your political choices likely to be. Of course, we have just a couple more weeks going into this bizarre election. If this is an election to be remembered, it should be remembered for its bizarreness. The post-Labor Day campaign push customarily is an all-out effort to lock down votes in the final stretch of a presidential election. But election 2016 has been and continues to be no ordinary presidential election. The duopoly's leading candidates, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, are intensely disliked and distrusted, but have the mainstay of media coverage as essentially the dominant choices in the race. They do, after all, account for the lion's share of pay-to-play advertising dollars flowing into the media's coffers this political season. But what are your thoughts? You know, we pause all the time and we take note of where we are on the political spectrum, how we feeling, what we thinking, what is shaping our view about this election, what our concerns are. We've been tracking voters and non-voters' attitudes about the presidential campaign, the issues driving it, and what their likely choices will be on election day. So we will get current with our polling today. That's what they call it. This is our own polling, and we will have to just stretch out a little bit and catch up with what's going on, what we see as political issues that are shaping our views of politics in general, but in this race in particular. 888-874-4888 is the number to call, and we should catch up. On Friday, you may recall, we used Friday to wrap up that week's worth of series of programs on the Clinton Foundation. We will return to it. There is so much developing on the story, and it's beginning to arrive at a point of critical mass, because people all over the world are now following the story. And I say very proudly that in great measure, this program had something to do with catalyzing interest in the story. And not because of me, I'm just a conduit, but because of the expert opinions we have had, giving us an inside view of how this foundation has been operating. But let's return to our purpose today, which is to talk about the impending election, the major issues you think have had impact or are having impact here in terms of shaping your personal view of politics, of the election in particular, of the candidates, of your own philosophy about politics. So 888-874-4888 is the number to call, and let's get started with Maat from New York. You're on the air.
Yes, love and blessings to my PRN Utrice Lead Stories family. Thanks for taking my call early, because I'm scrambling to an appointment, and oft times as a night owl, it's impossible to even try. But, you know, one of the things that I'm not hearing, Utrice and family, is recently, well, I guess it would have been when, I don't even remember the time, was it June, I think, somewhere in there, when the Bilderberg group meets. And I'm not listening to the so-called Patriot Radio, where I used to get good information on that, because I just can't tolerate their unwillingness to talk about race and make some sense about the concept of race. But my thought is that I think that this the Bilderbergs are the ones who basically select the candidates. If you remember when Obama was first running and they locked the reporters on his plane, and he and both Hillary were at the Bilderbergers. I believe Hillary was told to hang in there, that her turn was next, and that's why you have this knave, clown, someone who shoots himself in the foot every day, both feet every day, and makes no sense on any level, and is racist, et cetera, et cetera. I think this is very, very well, in other words, could have been put in place by the Bilderbergs to give somebody who has such low ratings and has done so many horrible things. I'd like to see if you can find somebody who knows the situation in Libya, and also
But before you go any further, what is the proof that you have that, I mean, or are you just conjecturing?
I'm just, you know, it's all a conjecture in terms of what is reality, what is really going on. It's always a level of conjecture. I'm out of the loop in terms of reporting on the Bilderberg situation. Wayne Mattson is someone, and what's the other guy, Daniel Estulin, who's done some great books, but I don't know that particular piece. But the reality is they do select the candidates. There's a whole history there, and this very well might be in place to give Hillary the only chance she has, and that is running against an idiot and fool and bigot like Donald Trump.
Why couldn't it be the case that this is just careful planning on the part of Hillary and Bill Clinton and the Democratic Party, which is their machine, to get whatever they need to get done?
Well, the point is that they show up at the Bilderbergs, at that big meeting. And on the progressive left, it's not even considered. But, you know, who is behind these people? Is it the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers who's started these groups and the instrumental and the Kissingers and all, I think that we need to pull back the curtain. And sure, Hillary and Bill, but they're a part of, you know, whether it's the Council on Foreign Relations or the Trilateral Commission, that's the real power. And I think that as progressives, we need to, you know, like in The Wizard of Oz, pull back the curtain.
So how has this shaped your political view in the current election?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I kind of, and I don't usually participate, but I found myself kind of feeling the burn at some level, although I also had to pull back because he wants the kill list on, or Obama's kill list on Tuesday, and he also, around the police, he said apprehend, and so he was missing a particular point there. I don't want either one of them. You know, it's like Tweedledee, Tweedledum, a dumber, a dumber. What I'm trying to say is we don't really have a choice, and we need to look at why we don't have a choice and who the real players are, some of which whose names, I mean, you know, the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers, they're out front more so, but there's some folks in the background behind them that are even more in charge. So that's what I'm saying. We need to look at, you know, pull back the curtain a bit and to see what's really going on.
Okay, thank you for getting us started today.
Thank you.
888-874-4888. We're looking at where we are now, just in the home stretch of this bizarre election, and we're looking at how, as things have unfolded, how they have impacted your view of politics and how they are shaping or have shaped your view about what you might do in November, if anything. What do you think of the Clinton candidacy, the Trump candidacy, other candidacies? What do you think about the role of the media in shaping all of our views? And what are some of the truths that you have arrived at in the course of the last several months, the last year, about politics and your role in it and its impact on you? This gives us an idea of how we are growing. If we be calibrating ourselves, keeping track of ourselves, and if so, in what direction are we moving? What is your sense of where the country is going? And what is shaping this thing that we call politics? What is likely to happen come November? All these things are on our minds, and this is the time for us to just take a poll. This is how we poll ourselves. Where are we? Are we in the same track as we were not too long ago? Are we even more radicalized, to use that word? Are we even more stringent in our views? Are we changing in any way? Do we find ourselves consciously changing? Brian from Pennsylvania, you're on the air.
Hello, Yotris.
Hello.
I've been listening to you for a while, but I'm Gary Morsley. But my opinion on it, after listening to as much as I can, which most people don't have time to or are afraid to look at it, I think people are just scared. But I think my decision, what I'd go for naturally, will be Jill Stein. Some people say Gerard Talante says he won't vote anywhere, but I think we must do it. Somebody must vote for somebody. She may not win, but I believe it's the logical choice for anyone who's listened to the truth. A lot of my friends won't listen. They think I'm crazy. But I said, listen to it and get your own opinions. But they're too stressed out. Most of them are in the city of New York. I'm getting off the grid. Slowly, but surely. And I don't know, that's just my opinion in short. I've listened to some of the programs Gary had yesterday. I didn't listen to it all, but a good bit of it.
What brought you or is bringing you in that direction? Brian, are you there? Did we lose Brian? Are you there, Brian? We disconnected for some reason. So he is a Jill Stein person. I must say, by the way, I have issued or have invited or I asked 6 times for the Stein campaign to come on, and not a single response. And this is not the first time. The last time, last election, no response. And I find it odd. But my last email to them, which was about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, somewhere around there, I said, this is my sixth and final invitation to come on the program and have a chat with the listeners. It's very odd that we don't get responses. And, you know, this is part of what I have experienced in my journalistic life. Although, you know, they could use every bit of exposure, they're very unwilling for some reason to talk to community-based publications. And I could only think that they consider it a waste of time. Certainly when I was editing a black newspaper, that was routinely the response that we got, that there was very little interest in talking to the community. It's their loss, but I must say, must make a note of that, because people might be thinking, you know, how come Jill Stein hasn't been on the program? It's not for lack of trying. It's six requests, I think, should indicate that we're interested in having her on. But maybe she has other things to do. 888-874-4888. What we're trying to do here is to get a connection between your thinking and your action. Where is it? What is it impelling you to do? For Brian, it was getting off the grid. It was going for supporting Jill Stein. And it is where a lot of people are going. But what about Bernie Sanders' role for the Democratic Party? What about Hillary Clinton? Do you think Hillary Clinton... Why am I even asking the question? But I have to ask the question. What about Hillary Clinton? Is her experience, her most recent experience on Sunday with this fainting spell, is that going to cause her to be more sympathetic, viewed more sympathetically? Would it increase her currency in the community? There are people said, oh, well, I'm not even dealing with her before, you know. But now that she is said to have been suffering with pneumonia, I don't know that I believe that. But is that going to help? Is that going to boost her campaign? Would she get a more sympathetic hearing once she gets better? But this is the home stretch. And this is where it's an all-out effort to garner votes wherever they are and under whatever circumstances. They don't care. They need to get the votes. That's it. Just vote. I must note the unduly sympathetic coverage that Hillary Clinton has been getting. I think the media fell down on the job so big this time that it's embarrassing, embarrassing how they have covered this campaign, and especially the Clinton Foundation, which to me is one of the biggest stories of this campaign, but has not yet reached that level in terms of media coverage. And people are falling all over themselves, trying to blunt the force against her. And I think she needs to answer these questions. She and Bill need to answer these questions. And these are major, major, major questions involving hundreds of billions of dollars and practically a for sale sign erected on the front lawn of the White House and on the front lawn of the State Department. So I think we need to press for answers here. E from Edgewater, you're on the air.
Hi, Patrice.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing today?
Oh, Fine, thank you. So where are you, where are you leaning right now in the home stretch of this election? Is it any different from, say, a month ago or 2 months ago, or are you pretty much the same?
Oh, I'm seeing it pretty much the same as I said when the primary was going, that Hillary wrote this story called How to Become the President Without Really Trying, and she's got her co-stars, Bernie the Pied Piper from Burlington, and he did his job really well, and he took all the burden of the whole primary. Hillary didn't have to do much. And it was close, and it looked believable enough, I guess, to fool people. And his reward is $1 million lake house in Vermont. But now it's Donald Trump's turn. Donald the Chump Trump is her next co-star, and he's doing his job. And they're running, you know, it's going to be neck and neck. To keep it believable, they wanted to keep it close. And I don't think he really wants to be the president. He just likes to make up a lot of stuff. When he says it's rigged, he's not making up a story. He's really telling us it's all rigged. It's all set up, and it's all done by Hillary and the powers that be. So I think Trump's real ambition is to be mayor of New York, and then he can make Manhattan his secure island, since he owns all the property there and stuff, you know what I'm saying? That's the way I'm seeing it. It's got to get, they want it to be close. It'll come down to the wire on November 7th. It'll be neck and neck, and it'll be too close to call. They'll have to have a recount. Trump will claim foul when they say Hillary won. They'll have to do more investigating, and this will go on for a while. I was wondering, do you have an opinion of Dick Gregory? You know Dick Gregory, right?
Yes. Yes, I do.
What's your opinion of his I'm stuck on a word here. He has a lot to say about things, and he feels that there's not going to be an election. It's going to be canceled, and there's going to be martial law called, and Obama will stay as the president for a couple more years. I found it curious. I was watching a few videos on YouTube, and I caught one where Obama was saying he needs 10 years to accomplish what he's trying to do. So why would he say 10 years when he knows he can only be there for 8 years? So I don't know where he's getting these extra 2 years from. So maybe that's what Dick Gregory's feeling. And I might
Let me ask you about your own attitudes and your own sense of whether you have changed your political attitudes or whether you're pretty much in the same spot.
I've been in the same spot since I was nine years old, and I saw Kennedy's head get blown up over and over again. I feel we've been having presidents that are put there on purpose just to, you know, the elections go on, we go and vote, but I don't really think they count them and choose a candidate by what the people pick. They already have it all planned out ahead of time, just like with the Trade Center was planned out 10 years before it happened. That was to get rid of the asbestos in there. I don't want to jump to another thing. I really don't have anything good to say about the political system that we've had for the last 50 years. And it's a shame, but, you know, that's my view of it. So I have trouble even thinking. Well, I liked Eugene McCarthy, and there was another guy, I can't think of his name at the time. I remember Dick Gregory even ran in 68, and supposedly there was some chicanery in Pennsylvania with the voting machine, and Dick Gregory by mistake got 9 million votes or something that was supposed to go to Nixon. So it's all a strange thing going on. Like you said, it's a very bizarre, but it looks like they want Hillary to be the girl. And I think maybe it's good. Let her be the president. Then we can watch her even closer, and then maybe we could really get her on something. Because I think this phone thing, this email service stuff, she put that out there, as a wild goose chase. So we'd be focused on that and not focused on real things.
So let me ask you, at what point would you say in the last several years or maybe even decades, did you have a different view about politics and what it can do and your role as a voter? Did you have a different view? Did you feel a little bit more confident about the system back then? And when was it?
I set in my mind that I wasn't going to pay attention to it anymore because every can't. All right, instead of you me trying to explain, you tell me one good politician that we've had in the last 50 years. Just give me one.
Well, this is not about me. This is about you telling
me
how you have seen this process change.
I can't come up with anybody. Uh-huh. I'm puzzled how we believe in this stuff still, and we're talking about it as it's real. I think they just make deals, and we're down on the bottom somewhere, and we're like fishing around for things, and we think we can change things that aren't going the way they should be going just by logically thinking. I mean, it doesn't make any sense, any of it. It's just about them getting all the money and the power, and we have to be their servants and slaves. And when they finally have enough robots and people to machines to do our work that we used to do, then we're expendable, and they can start eliminating us with this mosquito sprays and the chemtrails and the fluoride and the water and everything else. Why would a system? Why would a government want their citizens to get sick? Put poison in the water, mercury in the kids' mouths for 50 years. It doesn't make any sense to me. So
you no longer have faith in this system. You don't see yourself as playing your predictable or your predicted role in all of this. You've opted out?
Right, because it looks like they just put a president there just to be make speeches, and they're not really in control of things. The whole Illuminati system is in control of the things that are the decisions that are made. When was the last time you heard of a mafia boss getting whacked in Little Italy? Doesn't happen anymore because it doesn't exist anymore because the Illuminati told them, come join with us and take over the music industry and the movie industry and the sport industry, and you be our heavies to make sure they all cooperate and do what we tell them to do. And if they don't, then they get whacked, like Michael Jackson, Prince, Robin Williams. They get whacked. We don't know what's really going on. This is all things that I believe from the things that I'm seeing. I make my decisions, mm-hmm. I get a little tongue-tied because it's all so frustrating that my fellow human beings want to keep believing that this is something that we could do as people to change things. We need a whole new system. And I don't know. Maybe if Hillary gets in there and screws things up so bad, maybe we could do something about it. Doesn't make any sense that the people in Libya would kill Gaddafi. He was their ruler for like at least 35 years. I remember 35 years ago, Putin even copied Gaddafi. He used to come on his white horse with his kerchief and his sword out, and everybody was a little afraid of him in the start. Then he just became a good leader of a country there. And so I'm thinking maybe even the Benghazi thing was done purposely, so they had a reason to then get Gaddafi out of there, and Hillary thought it was so hilarious what they did to him. Maybe she paid the people like $50 a piece to go get him, and she thought it was hilarious that they put his sword in his rectum, and I thought it was a disgrace. and how could this woman think that that's funny? But she got angry because she had to go in front of the committee and say all kinds of things. It all could be an act. I hope I'm wrong. I really hope I'm wrong. But when I say these things to myself and they just are playing out day by day, just like I see them. Even Thursday, I said, Jill Stein, Rocky Edison, and Gary Johnson, they need to do outrageous things right now to get noticed. If you want to get noticed in this world, you got to do stupid, outrageous things or something great and unbelievable. Then people pop up their heads from their phones and say, oh, and then they start talking about it, and then they become, more popular, and they get noticed. And that night, I hear that Jill Stein gets arrested for spray painting a bulldozer. So she heard me tell her, do something outrageous. Get this, break this thing up, do something, you know?
Well, what you're telling us today, and you think, it's disjointed, but it's not. You're profoundly pointing out, an alienation. And a lot of people are feeling exactly the same thing. This system is not about democracy at all. It is not involving people in a meaningful way, and it is not operating in the best interests of the people. It is operating in the interests of a very tiny, powerful, well-financed group. And the election then becomes a charade. We all get out and we vote and we show the world, look, we've had elections and they went well, and we have our winners who have won by a democratic process. But you're telling a very, very important story, which is beginning to take hold in ways that people did not expect this election cycle, and that is the realization, the clarity, as I talk about all the time. People are becoming more and more clear that this is not government by the people for the people. It is government against the people, government isolated from the people, insulated against the will of the people. This is not a democratic process by any means. And people are beginning to make that observation, and it is now a deep-seated part of their consciousness. And the question then will be, at a point when this becomes the prevailing view, what happens? Thank you so much for contributing today. We go to David from Brooklyn. You're on the air.
Yes. Oh, boy, it's always good to talk to you, Eutrice, but you just stole my thunder. You know, you stole my thunder because what you just spoke about was a lot of what I was going to talk about. However, I want to tell you, I'm going to start using the D word. And by that I mean, this is not a democracy. This is a dictatorship that we're living under, controlled by those oligarchs that are the very top. You know, the whole idea of a dictatorship that we have is the oligarchs are great with this because they have a dictatorship masquerading as a democracy. And many of the people are fooled into thinking that they're in a democratic situation when those oligarchs are laughing as they go to the bank. This is not a democracy, and they select the people who are going to run, and they go through this charade that involves allowing the masses, some of the masses of people, to vote. One of the other things that's on my mind today, you know, I subscribe to the New York Times. I wish I didn't have to do it, but it's the only paper around here that I get. And the New York Times, they have stopped, in many cases, doing journalism. They are the public relations department for the government, the Democratic Party, and Hillary Clinton. Some of the articles, the journalism is so poor, you know, I was just amazed this last week, they had an article in the Times that had Hillary Clinton saying that the foundation was awarded good conduct from a number of organizations, and the Times didn't challenge her on what organizations they were. There's nothing. What kind of journalism is that? And that's what's going on in the Times. Some of the columnists in the Times are doing things like trying to divert attention from health issues by talking about, we don't have the records of her polio vaccinations and things like that, bringing attention away from the issue at hand today. So, you know, I mean, it's terrible because we understand now, those of us who've got a brain, that the oligarchs control the press. They decide what is going to be in the press, and those supposed reporters who are supposed to be journalists better toe the line or they won't have any job. So you want to throw out softball questions to the person who is they have decided that they is the oligarchy that they want to win. So don't come with any hard questions. And, you know, that's where I am at this time.
So have you come to terms with the idea that the brand, the popular brand of democracy being sold, and democracy as you are experiencing it are two entirely different things? Are you an engaged citizen, an engaged voter, or has something radically altered your view of the process to the point where you don't want to be part of it?
Well, I really don't want to be part of it, but I think at this point I'm just going to go along with Jill Stein, and that's it. I can't vote for anything that says Republican or Democrat at this point. I've gotten to that point, and that's a long road. And I mean, but I'm seeing it. I'm not satisfied with the quasi-democracy we supposedly have. And I try to reach out to people who are around and try to shed some light and open some brains for people to think about things that they're not thinking about, and especially people in the African-American community who are, as I say, hoop and holler for Hillary Clinton. You know, it's very hard to deal with that because some of them are so committed to this very dangerous woman. In the last couple of weeks, which has not been mentioned, the people, Africans coming off the coast of Libya by these smugglers, and many of them have died at sea. I think about 800-900 of them died, and that's all Hillary Clinton. As I remember, when Colonel Gaddafi was in his position, he didn't allow people to go off the coast of Libya and rickety boats and try to sail to Europe. That didn't occur. So this is one of the results of Hillary Clinton doing whatever black ops she did to get Colonel Gaddafi out and to have the NATO allies in place to kill and bomb Libya and create a terrible situation over there for the people in Africa, not only Libya, but throughout Africa.
Well, thank you very much for contributing, David. Very profound thoughts. Thank you.
My pleasure.
We go to Ali next from New York. Hello, Ali. You're on the air.
Hi, Utrecht. How are you doing?
Fine, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing well, and I wanted to say hello to all the people that are listening right now.
Thank you so much for that.
Okay, the first thing that I wanted to say is I'm asking everyone who could make it, please come to Zuccotti Park, also known as Liberty Park, September 17th, this Saturday coming up. It's the fifth year of anniversary of Occupy, and we will be there at 10 o'clock in the morning. It started from 10 o'clock until the nighttime. Please come and celebrate, because Occupy opened this floodgate for people to express themselves and to form different groups and to talk about what's happening to us, to all of us. Please come September 17th, this Saturday. We're going to be there starting at 10 o'clock. Please come and join us. It doesn't matter what you think, just come and join us. Right, left, everybody, come and join us. But this is what I wanted to say. I believe the gentleman who just called, his name is David?
Yes.
Yeah. Before David, there was another gentleman that it was on the line with you. Oh, my goodness. This gentleman, he thinks just like me. I like you, Utrecht, because he doesn't believe in government. And like you just said, you said that the government is against the people. And we should know that the United States government is against the people. Because look what's happening right now in North Dakota. United States government never honor most of the treaty that they have made with the Native Americans. So if you don't honor a treaty, you are against the people. Look at how they took dogs, and these people were bitten by dogs. And what happened? The government never came. They never sent any official people to defend these people. And look at the TPP. That's another thing. I mean, if this thing goes true, the government is against us, because this treaty is going to be against working people and against unions, against everything that represents what they call the little people. So I do agree with the gentleman that I called, that he was talking about why to go on there and vote. And you have said it a few times, Utrecht, why to go there. There's nothing for us out there to vote for. I'm not voting. I have been thinking about, oh, yes, I'm going to vote for Jill Stein. I'm going to vote for this. But at the end of the day, if you take a look at voting, really our vote doesn't count, because all these politicians, they do whatever they want. In New York City, our city council is supposed to be the most progressive group ever. It's against black and brown people. They're getting us out of this city. We haven't been able to make these people change their minds. So all these politicians, all of them, they're against the people when they get into power. And United States government, when Latin America elect a progressive person, what United States does, they make sure that they take them out. Look what happened to that lady in Brazil.
Dilma Rousseff.
Yes. Right away, they took her out. They made sure that they take it and put the people that they will put this policy that they want. Now they wanted, they took care of her, so now they wanted to make sure that they got into Venezuela. So people in the United States should be aware what this government does in Latin America, because they do it here too, but in different form.
So, Ali, how has your concept, because you clearly are a very activist person, how has your definition of politics changed? And in this election cycle, what are you likely to do?
For the most part, what I'm likely to do is what that gentleman said. I'm staying home. I'm not going over there to give my vote to. Like, I would love to go and give my vote to Jill Stein, but at the end of the day, it's just a number that she's just going to get. And that going to make any difference for us as citizens? No, it's not going to make any difference, because either this woman, Hillary Clinton, going to get there, and again, for that woman to go and kill Gaddafi and then laugh, it's like an evil, it's like a devil had come in a woman. I mean, it's just like, it's an unbelievable. No, it just changed. You trees have changed me, and I hope you have changed a lot of people. We are thinking just almost like you. What is out there for us to do and what is out there for us to go there to that booth and vote. And vote for what? Things that remain the same, and for us, black and brown people, things have gotten worse because there are more people out of work than ever, especially black and brown. Our net worth has gone down for African American a little bit more than 7,000, and for Latinos a little bit more than 6,000. That is our net worth, and white people, for a family or three and four, their net worth is over 120,000. So what can we do that this group, especially the Democrats, they really have done? What they have done for people of color, really? What have they done? They just give us the crumbs, and that's it. And a lot of people, they take the crumbs and they think that is good enough. For me, crumbs is you eat crumbs and you will never be satisfied. And that is me right now. I changed my mind, you trees. Like you say, you haven't voted for years. I'm not voting.
I really haven't. I haven't voted for a long time. Since that day in the voting booth, I shared it with the audience. This is what happened. I was in the voting booth, and I felt like I was being mugged. I was being assaulted, and I was being viewed as an idiot. When somebody tells you in three sentences you should vote yes or no on a couple of $100 million bond issue, and that's all the information you have, you say, you've got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me. Well, thank you so much for your contribution today, Ali. Good to hear from you.
Let's go next to
Cece of New Jersey. You're on the air.
Thank you, Patrice, for taking my call.
Thank you.
I first want to say that you are loved, liked, and very appreciated.
Thank you. Same here.
You're welcome.
The same about the audience. It's a great audience.
Thank you. Yes. I just want to say, in reference to probably getting Jill Stein, maybe Randy Credico, the listeners that listen to Randy Credico, they can call in and say, hey, point Jill Stein over to Lead Stories. I mean, that's basically what it is.
Oh, no. I placed the request myself six times, and I figured that's enough. I don't beg people to come on the program. That's for sure.
No, this is not begging. I mean, you've done your job. It doesn't mean that we can't be, independent agents. And
my thing is, they were notified. I made an effort, and that's it. And this is the second time around. And I believe it is not Jill Stein. I believe her campaign is just crazy in the sense of not following through and not well organized and not, placing a priority on getting her to connect with audiences. But, that's their problem.
Yeah. I believe all of that is true. I think they're inadequate, for many reasons. I mean, it's just the way these things spring up. Like Bernie was inadequate in the beginning. And then it became bigger than he could ever imagine. And of course, it's very difficult. You don't know how to handle it because you have no training. You have no experience for something that comes up like this. I just want to say that I have been watching this thing. I think that everything that happens to us or through us or by us relates to ourselves. And I think we love one of the shows that comes on after you has the word myths in it. We love myths and we like stories. And we're thinking for some reason that we vote for someone and they're going to do what they're supposed to do. They're going to do what we need them to do, which is ridiculous. We, as I've said before, if we're looking for something to turn up, we got to begin with our sleeves. If it's the B, it's up to me. We've got to get involved. We've got to get off our assets and get involved. It is never going to happen. And that's the idiotic thing. That's the thing that makes us idiots, is that we are thinking. And the great Armand DeMille said, quoting, if you keep on doing what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. And that's what we keep getting. And I'm a boomer. And I went to the March on Washington. I was a teenager. And I was involved. And we thought we bought tickets to the illusion that it was getting better. Coming from a faith-based situation, you believe that it's going to be more and more and better by putting somebody in to do it for you. And they just get corrupt and bought out and controlled and influenced or killed. So we have to, it's wild that we think this is ever going to get better. And what we've got, unfortunately, is what we deserve. And that's the bottom line. We got, this is the worst of times, but the best part of the best of times is that we get sick and tired of getting sick and tired. We need to get active and get out there and make it happen. And it's not a perfect situation. There's no perfect situations. Jill's not perfect. He's not, the guy who said, had the gaffe on Morning Joe.
Is Aleppo?
Right. He's trying to let people know that he's not doing marijuana right now. You know what I mean? So that didn't do well when he was on that morning. I mean, he was like, he might add something before he got started.
Yes. Let me ask you about your consciousness of your political evolution. Are you conscious that you're evolving politically and you are moving in a particular direction? Do you know where it is? Where that direction is?
Yes, I do. I do. I have to, because I have seven grandkids. I have seven grandkids, and my children were fortunate. I mean, they have degrees, and they think they're doing good. They have master's degrees and all this and that, and they think it's okay, and we don't have to, it's not our job. We're not responsible now, and their kids are going to private schools, and they're spending fortunes to do this, and they're clueless. My kids are clueless. And so the deal is, I've got to go out. It's up to me. I've got to go out there and make it happen. And so, yes, my consciousness, I've been following it lately. I mean, you're the one 20 years ago said, hey, on BAI, when they're not doing what they're supposed to do, punish them. Okay?
I believe in that. That's a basic political axiom for me.
Right.
If they're not doing right by you, you got to punish them.
Yeah, that's right. So now punishing them to me is not standing out and standing off, it's getting involved. You got to get involved. They know we're not going to get involved. They know they're working with 30% of the population that's going to get involved. And what do we have? Clowns and characters and criminals. And this is amazing. I mean, people have to be looking at us all over the world and saying, what are these people? We're the last. Why? Because we're so entertained. We're so amused. We've got 150 channels. We've got Nintendo and this one and that, this thing going on. I'm not bothering with that. I'm not fooling with that. So, you want to ask me the question again?
No, you're answering it. You're saying that you are realistic about political choices, and not only that, about where you fit or where you can fit in making things change. So this is really great. Thank you so much for calling today.
I want to say one thing. It's fear.
Sure.
We're afraid. We're afraid that if we go this way, we're going to lose these three things, and we go over here, we're going to lose four or six. And we drop the fear, false evidence appearing real, false emotions appearing real, we're going to have to give up something. We're not going to have the criminal, we're not going to have the Supreme Court, or we're not going to have this, or we're going to have some of these or that, some of that. Get in there and do the right thing, and all take care of itself. Thank you, Latrice.
Thank you so much. Look, I'm looking at a pretty long line of people wanting to speak, and we're going to do just that tomorrow. This is a great conversation, because what I'm asking people to do is to just do inventory, self-inventory, and figure out what is it that we're looking at, what is it that we are living in, what is it that we can do, how are we to think about our condition, and those things, people and things responsible for our condition. What is the charge that we have now? And not just to be observers of a process and get all intellectual about it, but first we have to think, don't you think? We have to think about things first. And we very seldom are encouraged to think about things. This is a great time to think about things. Not with a sense of fear. This is a beautiful point that Cece just made. Not out of a sense of fear, but quite the opposite, out of a sense of strength. Because one of the things that should be abundantly clear by now is that as powerful as these people are, who are running or who are controlling things, if we do not cooperate, what good is their power? Their power is predicated on mindless, unconscious cooperation. And this is a time to recalibrate that and say, all right, it's not the best position to be in to have your back up against the wall, but sometimes you've got to be in this position to become resolute about what it is you have to do and not feel afraid about doing it. We may just have to come to grips with the idea of total rejection, total non-cooperation with a system that operates this way, predicated on our misery and our disadvantage. And I want especially to say to E from Edgewater, now you may think that you were all over the place, but it was a brilliant offering, because you were telling us exactly how you're feeling. And this is pervasive. People are feeling a sense of outrage about being taken advantage of, being hoodwinked. And they may be expressing it in different ways, but that's the palpable feeling. They are conscious of it. They don't like this arrangement at all. The power equation is way off, and they are bearing the brunt of a rigged system. And it's also important to keep that word in mind, system. Now we understand what the word system means and what is the counter system to the system. That's what we have to start doing. So we will continue this discussion. I don't want to deny anybody the opportunity to express their thoughts and share their thoughts, because there's so much learned in a process where people express themselves just the way they feel. And this is what I think this program should be all about. So thanks. Coming up next, Meditations and Molotovs with Vincent Emanuele. You can reach me at leadstories@gmail.com. Let me know what you think about this program. I love it because I think the audience is the best in the world. We'll see each other tomorrow. Pleasure and a great privilege to be in your company. Bye-bye.